everybody. Welcome back to the Nerdament Podcast. I'm here, as per usual, with
Victoria.
And we have Aaron. The ghost Aaron again.
Oh, yeah. We due to the struggles of last episode, we talked it out, had a real heart-to-heart, came to a nice, like, I guess cathartic.
He's not joking. Thing. That's not a joke.
But then we came to
that's really what happened.
To let the other disembodied voice kind of go rest a while in the void. And then they cloned that disembodied voice, and, well, here I am.
Yep. We're good at cloning, apparently.
Yes.
Of voices. Not real people. Don't call coming for that.
Yeah. We are actively working with Klaus from Umbrella Academy to get the real one back.
Yes.
So look out for that in the near future. We have a very special episode. Hey. I'm talking here.
Things have already gone south.
Anyways, we have a very special episode today with a guest from the War of the Stars podcast, but that's not going to happen until the second half of this episode.
Yes.
Aaron and I are going to argue for one, and then it'll be Aaron versus our guest. Aaron, we haven't talked to you since Victoria and I finished the Umbrella Academy yesterday.
Yes.
Season 3 of the Umbrella Academy.
Yes, we're still not allowed to talk about it. It hasn't been out long enough.
It's fine. Aaron.
Oh, jeez.
Why is that one character so sucky?
Ben?
No.
Oh, okay.
The other one.
Are you talking about the Monopoly Man?
No, I know. We know that Hargreaves is going to be like, that's what we expect Hargreaves to be like that.
Oh.
I mean, Allison.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about Allison.
Bro, like.
She's been through a lot. She's very much turning on everybody.
I don't want to talk about her. Let's move on.
You know what? I will say I appreciated from Umbrella Academy this season. So, obviously, Vanya switched to Victor.
Yes.
Right? I like that it was, like, not even a thing.
Yeah. They had a really great, they had a lot of great moments in there with that, and just a lot of acceptance. And it was, like, such a seamless switch. Like, from that point forward, no one said her again.
No,
I said her the entire time I was watching by accident
multiple
times. But everyone else in the show didn't, and I loved that.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think the people working on the show did a really good job of recognizing, respecting, and accepting Elliot Page coming out as transgender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And incorporating that into Victor.
I agree.
I really liked it. It was nice.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things that Allison said were really bad.
No, we are not talking about Allison.
But. She didn't say anything about that particular thing, so I was glad that they didn't even bring that up.
Well, no, because she would be canceled if she did that.
I know, but I mean, like, it's just like it. She switched to Victor.
Yes.
And then we were done. She was Victor now, or he was Victor now. So it was.
Yeah.
It was like it's not even a thing. Like, don't worry about it.
Or rather, he came out as Victor.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was like a thing. And like, it wasn't a thing, actually. So, like, nobody cared. Moving on. You know?
Yeah.
I thought that was nice. A nice touch. But Aaron, why are we here?
For those of you that have not watched this before, me and Hayden created a 128-seed tournament taking characters from Star Wars, Jedi, Sith, and we have our last gun character coming in next episode.
Woo!
So be sure to tune into that next episode.
Yes. Is it man with gun or just thing with gun?
It's man with two gun.
Man with two gun.
Why do you say thing with gun?
Because I don't know the proper terminology for some of the Star Wars based
species.
So I just said
like Zuckus.
It's Django.
Django. Okay.
So he's human.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. But Aaron, who do we have today?
Today me and Hayden are going to talk about Leia Organa versus Darth Nihilus. And then with our special part of this episode with War of the Stars, you're going to have Luke Skywalker versus his son, Ben Skywalker.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Great episode.
I say we just get into it, yeah?
Well, yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Who's lower?
Let me look at the handy dandy board behind me. That will be me.
Who Leia. Are you? Okay.
I am Leia.
Oh.
Mm.
She's gotten real ugly.
Shut up. So I guess I'll go first, Aaron.
Yes.
All right. Leia Organa defeated Luke when he was the Grand Master of the Jedi as a Padawan to finish her training. Thought to be even stronger than Luke in the Force. And obviously with a lightsaber, even though it was like her final training, he had been a Jedi for much longer than she had. Mm. And Leia has dealt with what is called wounds in the Force. Before, like when Luke was in trouble on the bottom, hanging by the bottom Cloud City, and knows how to use them. And that's all I'm going to say for right now. So, Aaron, Darth Nihilus.
Okay, I have a question.
When she was, like, linked to Luke?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
What are wounds in the Force?
I'll let Aaron explain Darth Nihilus first.
Okay.
That's not... Okay. I'll get to that when we get there. Darth Nihilus... I have the main villain for Knights of the Old Republic 2. We talked about him before. Survivor of the Mandalorian Wars on a planet that was completely ravaged. Got angry, joined the Sith. Ate planets, joined the Triumvirate, including Darth Treya and Darth Sion. He was the most powerful in this Triumvirate. He and Sion betrayed Treya, and then Nihilus drained her of her Force power. He and Sion then almost made the Jedi extinct at that time.
Do you know Sion how? Sion
died, made the big mistake of dying.
Aaron.
What?
Do you know how?
Sion died?
No, how they almost made the Jedi extinct.
I have a guess with Nihilus.
I watched some videos today. That's where I did a lot of my research. And those videos were actually by a YouTuber called The Stupendous Wave. He had some really good videos on Star Wars content, so it was very helpful. But Nihilus and Sion almost made the Jedi go extinct by that whole draining the planet thing. The Jedi Council was on that planet.
Oh, okay. I do know Nihilus is, like, M.O., was to target his hunger, because he's the Lord of Hunger. He feels this constant hunger to absorb Force energy. His MO is to the point where the hunger got to where it craved celestial bodies, and nothing else was enough. So what Nihilus did was he hunted the most powerful people in the Force and killed all of them.
Yeah.
Which will be a part of my argument, because Leia is extremely powerful in the Force.
Okay, that's fine.
So, moving on. He had an apprentice. His apprentice turned to the light side. Eventually, at the end of this war, it took his apprentice, now turned to the light side, Mandalore the Great, and the Exile, who was trained by Darth Vitiate. It took all three of them to kill his corporeal form, and then his soul went into his holocron that he made, and he's still technically alive in there.
Okay.
Moving on to lightsaber, his lightsaber form is extinct by the time of any other time after this. It's the devil's number four.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Called the Atra Manua. Focuses on defense with extremely aggressive offense.
Okay.
He's
seeding. Are you seeding the floor, Aaron? I said,
no,
are you...
I'm about to go into.
Oh, okay.
About to say something quick about Leia. So I'm starting a refutation on Leia. So Leia is extremely powerful in Force, but due to her vision at the end of her Jedi journey as a Padawan, she decided to leave the Jedi Order and leave the Way of the Jedi behind, which means that given Leia's, like, given the approximate age from that scene, she probably left it behind of, she probably trained as a Jedi for less than 10 years, and then left it behind. Nihilus survived long enough to die once and then put his soul into a cloak and mask, and then went on for a very long time, killing the top trained Jedi and most powerful Jedi. Leia, her biggest strength is her tactical abilities, but Leia's tactical genius comes compared to armies and larger forces. Hence why she becomes a general. She's a very good general. And I do think that if she was in charge of a large force of Jedi and, like, directing them against Nihilus, she would have a good chance of stopping him. But she doesn't have nearly as much in one-on-one where she couldn't, like, talk her way out of it. So, yeah, she's a little bit out of her element in her tactical prowess.
Okay.
Hey.
All right. Well, Nihilus, for my argument, Nihilus is the Lord of Hunger, yes. He was a very powerful Sith. This is true. However, his lightsaber skills are below average, and that is a fact. His lightsaber skills are below average. And his force power relies solely on drain, which is a very powerful force power. I will say that. Force drain is extremely powerful. You can cut people off from the force, and that's how you kill basically the entire Jedi Council and an entire Jedi Academy while draining the rest of the planet of its power. But his power only works on people who are not or do not have experience with wounds in the force. A wound in the force is a catastrophic, like, tear in the force. So, like, when Alderaan got blown up, the way that Obi-Wan reacted was in the reaction to a wound in the force. Nihilus himself is a wound in the force because he is just so powerful. Okay? But when he was defeated, he was actually defeated one-on-one by his former apprentice, who is also a wound in the force. And because she is a wound in the force and knew how to use the powers associated with wounds in the force, his powers did not work on her. They did not work on her at all.
What is your point of drawing this to Leia?
Leia has experience with wounds in the force. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, but, like, when?
When, like, for instance, when Luke was in trouble hanging on the bottom of Cloud City, that was a small wound in the force that she was able to exploit. That's how they were connected.
That's okay, that's not a wound, or at least I didn't interpret that as a wound. The people who are genetically linked in the force are very, very close through, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin, Luke and Leia, Han and Leia, Luke and his mother. I mean, Anakin and his mother are all, like, telepathically and empathically linked to one another.
Mm.
Just through their familiarity to, like, their part in the Force. Because that's kind of, it makes sense within the High Republic, because they talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Is when they talked about how they visualized the Force, they could talk about how they could feel each other. Like, see, Avar says that each person is, like, individual, and she's immediately able to feel people like Stellan and Elzar. So I didn't take that as a wound in the Force. I took that as a, like, link between them, that Luke was able to use that link to call to Leia through the Force, through that, like, link that they had. and call for help that way. That she did not use a wound.
Okay. The reason I bring that up as an example of a wound that she has experience with is because I looked up, just because I had never heard of a wound in the Force before. So I looked up what that means, and that was an example that they gave, was that example, that exact example with Leia and Luke. And she definitely felt what happened to Alderaan. Even if she saw it in person, she also felt it through the Force.
And also, like, very personally.
And very personally. Okay. Nihilus has one major weakness. Okay. And that is, if somebody knows how to exploit the power associated with wounds in the Force, his powers no longer work on them. He cannot drain them of power. And then it relies on lightsaber skill. And lightsaber skill, he is below average. And she defeated Luke, who is in the top 5, according to LucasArts, in the universe, in dueling prowess. And that comes from LucasArts, or not LucasArts, the film version of LucasArts.
Lucasfilm?
Yeah. So, like, you know, you can't get a better source than that.
Right. So, are you good?
Yeah, and his Force powers just rely on drain. Yeah, his Force powers just rely on drain, and the fact that wounds counteract that makes his power with the Force practically zero. Just like normal Force power level, and then he can't handle the lightsaber skill. Even if she is no longer, if she gave up the Jedi way or whatever. It doesn't matter.
So, your argument here is hinged on the fact of Leia can exploit wounds. She can use them to her advantage.
Yeah.
We simply don't have evidence that she can consciously do this.
Well, we know that she's extremely powerful in the Force.
Yes, but she had... This seems like something that would be a very advanced move. I mean... He almost made the Jedi go extinct. So, that would stand to reason that hardly anybody knew about that, especially not the Jedi Council, which would be the highest people. So this is a rare and very complicated thing when she was in the Jedi Order for a very short time. So we don't have proof that Leia can control wounds, which would imply that most of what Leia feels, she's connected to Han and... She's connected to Han and Luke. So if she is able to feel a wound, it's without knowing why she's able to feel wounds and without knowing how to control feeling wounds. And when it comes to Nihilus' draining, I want to get this out of the way. It's not a voluntary... It's to the point where it's not voluntary for him. Just being around him drains you. It's a passive thing. So it's not like he has to prepare... So it's not like he has to prepare to drain somebody. It's just, it happens when you're around him. So basically, it's like a timer. If she cannot control wounds, which I don't, I'm arguing that she cannot, then it's a timer for her. And her being very powerful in the Force would be very... I'm trying to figure out the good way to say this.
Appetizing?
Tempting for him.
Okay.
Since his hunger depends on powers of celestial bodies and extremely powerful people in the Force, Leia in this case is just another person in that list.
Okay. But they do have prep time. Leia has access to one of the most knowledgeable Jedi Masters of all time. And a very good connection with him, as you said. And she's one of the most naturally predisposed Force users in the history of Star Wars. So it's not like it would take her that long to master that. And they have the benefit of thousands of years of knowledge after Nihilus was defeated.
Yes, but we, I don't think we have any proof that people like Luke, Obi-Wan, and Yoda know how to have mastered and can control Force Winds as well. And she only does get, what was it, a month prep time that we talked about?
Month or 2 weeks, I can't remember.
It was one of those.
Either way, she is able to master this very quickly, but given the implication that this is a very complex task, it would mean that this would take a very long time to master, even with her inherent power.
Yeah, I mean, but even though she stopped being a Jedi, it's not like she's just out of practice and using the Force. We know for a fact that she still knew how to use the Force in the sequels, because that's like her last action was turning her son back to the light by sacrificing herself to do that. So she clearly still knew how to use the Force. So it's just like riding a bike.
She just used it in a different way. That is not like, in a way a general would, instead of a way a Jedi would.
Aaron, before The Last Jedi, had we seen a Jedi cast their own essence, or their own like Force ghost, while still alive across the galaxy?
You're talking about Luke.
Her twin?
Is this a side note, or is this like part of your argument?
No, it's part of my argument, because like we hadn't seen that happen before, because it just simply hadn't happened before. It took like the most powerful Jedi up to that point of all time to do it. And it's widely believed, or widely theorized at least, that she is at least as powerful, if not more powerful, than he is in the Force.
Well, that's not... Power doesn't become all of it. Satele Shan is an extremely powerful person.
Based off of her lineage, yes.
But Satele Shan's extremely powerful person, but it took until Qui-Gon and Yoda for Jedi to figure out how to become Force ghosts.
Well,
Satele Shan didn't undergo that process.
She was also a little bit preoccupied with like the half Vader guy running around.
Luke was preoccupied as well. What I'm saying is power doesn't necessarily come in to that. Luke had a very specific skill. Luke used a very specific skill when he cast a projection of himself across the galaxy. It doesn't necessarily mean if he could learn how to control Force Wounds, I'm sure he could, but we just don't have the proof that he does.
Do you think he had been practicing that?
The projection thing?
Yeah.
Or
is that just something that he just like, he's like, I need to do this, so I'm going to do this because it needs to be done.
If it were any other media than Star Wars, I would say it's the second one. But this is Star Wars, so it makes me think that could be the first one, because, you know, fill in a lot of gaps. But honestly, I can't tell. I can't tell you a definite answer.
See, my problem is that I know that Nihilus is extremely powerful, obviously, right? If you were able to drain and cut off an entire Jedi Council, that's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful, okay? But the fact that he has below average dueling skills and a very, very serious weakness that negates 95% of his power if you just know something, right? It's like the way it was explained on the video, I thought it was nice. Again, that video was by the Stupendous Wave on YouTube. I think it was very apt. Nihilus is a boss in a video game. Okay? He is ridiculously powerful. Like, insanely powerful. But, like, if you have a certain weapon, if you're wearing a certain armor, if you know a certain spell, you can easily defeat him. He's Rumpelstiltskin, alright? We know his name. She has 2 weeks to a month to, quote, learn his name, alright? And as somebody who is very adept in the learning process, for this specific learning process, it's Nihilus needed to be more well-rounded. He needed to be the end game boss, not the middle game boss. You see what I mean? Like, Vitiate is an end game boss. Nihilus is a middle game boss. Now, he is like a Dark Souls boss, or, you know, like Elden Ring boss, but he's not the end all, like the final boss. You know what I mean?
I will say, when he was literally the final boss, since, you know, he was a video game character, when he literally was the final boss, those three people were the Mandalore, the great, the most powerful Mandalorian.
And what happened to him?
Hold on. I'm getting to my point. His apprentice, who knew him very well and was also extremely powerful, and the Exile, who was powerful enough to kill Vitiate at one point. So, and when he was fighting them, at several points during that fight, he made them wish that they were dead. He tormented them with the Force until they wished they were dead at several points in that fight. I do think this fight comes down to whether Victoria thinks Leia can learn to control wounds or not. Because if she cannot control wounds,
then it's over.
She's another extremely powerful, basically celestial body.
She becomes like his lunch.
She what?
She like becomes his lunch.
Yeah. But if she does, then that uses his weakness. And my argument is that I don't think she could, because she may know that in this scenario, it's like she knew that she needed to find out Rumpelstiltskin's name, but she doesn't know anybody who knows it.
I think that's a very good wrap-up of the entire argument. I'm going to say that I think if anybody could learn Rumpelstiltskin's name, it is either her or her brother. If anybody on this entire freaking board could figure it out, it is one of those two.
Maybe Yoda. I think Yoda could.
Maybe Yoda. But that would be a final, like a, you know, the final matchup. Yeah. You know, I think if anybody could, it would be those two.
Victoria, do you have any questions?
No.
You have any questions at all?
No, I asked the questions that I wanted to ask throughout.
Okay.
I'd say my final conclusion is Leia.
You think she can... Are you confident that she can learn how to deal with learn the powers of wounds and stuff?
Yes. I'm confident that she could, just because she has tapped into it before, and because, like, as you guys were saying, like, if anyone on the board could find it out, it would either be, like, either her brother, or Yoda. They also know Yoda. And so, like, I think during the prep time, it is possible that she could. And also, like, it's an obvious weakness that he has. So it's not, like, any knocks on him or like any knocks on Aaron's argument. It's just that he has an obvious weakness that she could exploit, and she's more powerful when it comes to like fighting than he is. So I think there's more of a probability on her side than there is on his.
How do you feel, Aaron?
Disappointed, but not surprised.
Yeah, sorry, my guy. I mean, are you really, at the end of the day, would you be upset if Leia Organa made it to the Sweet 16?
Not really.
Yeah,
it's Leia.
I think it was gonna be close regardless.
Yeah,
I'm just saddened that I lost another matchup.
I'm sorry, my dude.
Aaron, come on, come on. There was
gotta win one here.
There was a time in both seasons where I was losing like six in a row. So you're fine. But I,
yeah, Flynn, but I was the one that beat you 6 in a row.
I know. It's nice to be on the other side. But fun fact time. I had mentioned that Luke is number 5 or in the top 5 of best duelists in Star Wars universe, according to the OGs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to guess who number 1 is?
Obi-Wan?
No.
Yoda?
No.
Hmm. Then are you going to tell us? Because we both already guessed. No,
Aaron probably has another guess.
Oh, okay.
Vader?
It is Vader.
Ah, that makes sense.
It is Vader. And since we're talking about Obi-Wan, I understand. And that's what I was about to talk about. Spoiler alert for the Obi-Wan finale. If you haven't watched that already, please go watch it. It was amazing.
If you haven't watched it, you're sleeping on it.
It was amazing. Okay.
It's very good.
You have been warned.
Yes.
All right. So I saw a thing that said, so you know how Obi-Wan cut his helmet in half or whatever, he cut it open or whatever, and we got that like amazing scene of Anakin's, like, former Anakin's face, right?
Yeah, like whenever Ahsoka cut it.
Yeah, so he was still Darth Vader when he got that. You could see his eyes and everything, but he was still Darth Vader. And then when Ahsoka did it, he was still Darth Vader. You could see his eyes and everything, but he was still Darth Vader. He didn't become not Darth Vader. He didn't go back to being Anakin until his helmet came completely off. Until somebody took his helmet.
His helmet's just a glimpse at who he used to be.
Yeah. So, like, you had to take like, the helmet fully off for him to, you know, revert back. But I just thought that was an interesting little detail that somebody had pointed out on Instagram.
That's helmets are a very
big, like, symbolic thing in Star Wars, so.
Yes, they are, especially if you're a Mandalorian. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So, the second part of this episode, the fun part of this episode, we are joined by John from the War of the Stars podcast. How are you doing tonight?
Hello there.
So those
General
of you,
John.
Those of you who haven't listened to the War of the Stars podcast, what is it about? Like, what do y'all do?
Well, it's as the title would might suggest, it is a Star Wars podcast. We talk all things Star Wars, both canon, non-canon, both in-universe, out-of-universe. I would suggest for those who want to get started with the podcast to listen to our Women of Star Wars series that we did last year. We went through, we looked at all of the major female characters from Leia to Rey to Ahsoka, and just broke them down. But yeah, we just talked Star Wars, myself and my host, Will. We've just got done doing our Obi-Wan review. So yeah, we just talked Star Wars.
Yeah, I was kind of struck me when we first started, you know, talking, trying to figure out when we could get you on here. You had mentioned that I was like, what era of Star Wars you guys talk about, and you were like, all of it, and I was like, that's pretty special, because not a lot of Star Wars podcasts go full length there. So
yeah, I mean, that's one thing, you know, we always kind of say, you know, like what you like, you know, but don't be a, you know, pardon the expression, don't be a dick about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that. my whole thing is that it doesn't matter what part of Star Wars you like. To me, you're a Star Wars fan. If the only thing you've ever watched is the original trilogy, and you have knowledge, nothing else, you're a Star Wars fan. If the only thing you've ever watched is the cartoons, like that's the only thing you've ever watched, you've only watched Clone Wars and Rebels, I still consider you a Star Wars fan, because you're still in that. And we always end our shows by saying it's not just my Star Wars, it's not just your Star Wars, it's our Star Wars. And that's kind of our mantra is, it's Star Wars is for everyone.
I like that.
Regardless of age, race, political background, financial background, you know, Star Wars is a very all-encompassing franchise, I think.
I'd agree.
Yeah, I think I need more people like you.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
I think the thing you're talking about is a very powerful and meaningful message, and a very spread, so...
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We try to be very positive too. You know, we don't try to, even with our reviews, when we do, sorry, we do nitpick, we try to always spin a positive light on it and not just, you know, oh, this show sucks, you know. Yeah, we might bring up something that, like, okay, I didn't really care for this aspect, but that's not going to mean I'm never going to say, oh, Star Wars is ruined for me, because Star Wars is never going to be ruined for me. There's tons of Star Wars out there. I'm going to find something I like. Mm. Even if there's something I don't care for, hey, maybe that's not for me. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so obviously Obi-Wan just ended.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the TV show as a whole?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, for me personally, I think it was one of the better made of, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's like everything Disney Plus has put out as far as the Star Wars content goes. But this, it was one of my favorite. I think it's right up there with Mandalorian. It's hard to top Mandalorian.
It is.
For me, but this came pretty, pretty close. Yeah, especially that last episode.
That was a good episode.
I will fully admit, I was starting to tear up a little bit during that fight scene with Vader. That was just so emotional. Just so.
Yeah, Aaron said he did.
Yeah, he cried.
Yeah.
Like, I cried several times in that series.
Yeah.
Yes, so emotional.
I cried during the recap, and then it just kept going.
He never stopped.
Yeah, I thought it was a very well done series. So I'm glad it was good, because everybody was hyped about that for a long time. As soon as like they heard that there was a possibility of a show like that being made, everybody was just super hyped, and I'm glad it, like, in my eyes, it lived up to everything that we could have hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Yeah.
What?
Now we just got Andor to look forward to.
Personally, I'm not super jazzed about that. I don't know why. I just can't, like, I can't put my finger on it. Like, I'm going to watch it, obviously, because that's just who I am. But I don't know. I think I'm more excited for Acolyte than I am for Andor.
Yeah. I'm actually, now that I'm hearing about what they might do with Lando, I'm kind of interested in what they might do for Lando, because I think what they need to do is just have Billy Dee Williams in a cantina telling stories, and then have Donald Glover be the younger Lando, and him just telling stories about his adventures. I'm like, that would be something I could get behind. Just Lando, just Billy Dee Williams telling stories in a cantina, and then actually showing the actual story with Donald Glover actually as young Lando. I was like, okay, that would.
That sounds really like cool.
That would make a lot of sense, actually.
I would enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. But.
Right, what am I here for?
You are here to argue with the ghost in the machine over here.
I'm the second disembodied voice.
Yes.
Yes. We killed the last one.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's taking a break in the void.
Yeah.
He has become one with the Force?
Yes.
No.
I'm essentially Qui-Gon.
No.
And then the other one's just gone.
Here's a question, Aaron. Are you the Qui-Gon from the actual, it was actually in the show, or are you the Qui-Gon from that meme that I sent you? Where he's wearing, he got the umbrella, and he's got like the juice, or the drink, or whatever, he's wearing the glasses.
Well, it is summer, so yeah. I'm that behind the scenes Qui-Gon.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice. The other voice is Cosmic Force.
Yeah, but Aaron will be defending Ben Skywalker, who is just Legends, and we have asked you to defend his father, Luke Skywalker, as they, you know, fight to the death. So
I think it'll be
fun. We're going to have Aaron go first, since he is the lower seed. So,
yes.
Get us going, Aaron.
I'm going to try to go through Ben's stuff as fast as possible, because I have like a couple of different tangents in here. Because I must admit, this was at a point where like during this time, I wasn't very into like the lore of the Legends sequels.
Right.
So when doing the research and stuff, I'm finding most of this out for like the first time. So it's a bit of an adventure for me.
I mean, he rarely does Legends stuff.
Yeah, and I haven't read Legend stuff for a long time. For a while, like, I was reading all of the books up until the Vong whole Vong storyline. That kind of got me kind of like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, it gets kind of wild in there.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to follow. But the Thrawn books are really good. So.
Got me back into Star Wars were those books back in the 90s, showing my age here.
You are not the only person to say that. It was a very successful book series that got everybody back into Star Wars.
Yeah.
I've heard several people talk about how that is such a big book for them to get into that.
Yeah. That's what took me from being like, oh, these are really cool movies, to I want to know everything about this, this world.
Yeah, that was Clone Wars for me, because like, I was a very young child at that point. So I just started looking up all of the clones, reading everything about them, and then switching to the next clone.
Yeah, he's a clone guy.
I am, and I love clones so much.
But Aaron, Ben Skywalker.
Yes, Ben. And certainly back to the use on Vong thing. Ben, the son of Luke Skywalker and Mara Jade Skywalker, he was born during the use on Vong War, when Mara was able to keep a disease away from Ben while she was pregnant with him. It was a very complex thing, and we went into depth last episode.
Two episodes ago.
And it was two episodes ago. Wow. He was raised by Han and Leia during that war, and then went into like a little coven with other Jedi Padawan. Whenever the war ended, Ben reached out in the Force and felt all of the pain and death that was caused throughout all of the years, and felt all that pain, and decided to close himself off in the Force, making him our fourth person that has done that on this podcast.
Yeah. Surprisingly common.
Yeah, it happens a lot. In the later Killick, war, I don't know if it's officially called that, but in the Killick War, I'm calling it that, he had a pet Killick, which, by the way, is like a praying mantis on steroids that grew up on Dathomir.
Okay.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, you know, if you got it like that. Pet.
And then his parents realized that the pet's plan after it tried to make him kill Mara Jade. Do y'all remember that video from the early 2000s?
You gotta be more specific than that.
Late 2000s? That's did you know dog spelled backwards is God?
Oh, yes.
Oh, your mother, Tracy. That thing?
Yes.
I didn't think I would find that literally happened in Star Wars.
Move on.
So yeah, then Luke and Mara Jade killed the Killick.
Okay.
He was unofficially trained under his cousin, Jason Solo, for 5 years. And over that period of 5 years, he slowly reopened himself to the Force. During the Second Galactic Civil War, he was used on violent missions constantly, like Black Ops kind of missions. And Jason fell to the dark side, killing his mother. This made him very angry and very emotional, and he dueled Jason several times to try to get revenge, until he was able to take a step back and prove that Jason was indeed guilty. And then Jason was killed by his sister, Jaina Solo. After this, Luke got exiled because the Republic blamed him for his student falling to the dark side, and Ben decided to go with Luke. To try to prove Luke's innocence in the matter, and to prove that something caused Jason to go insane. Once they went into this, and they realized the thing that made him go insane was actually Aboleth, which I believe is the pronunciation, which I've heard of Aboleth as the immortal demon, but I didn't know that the Aboleth goes by a different name, the Mother, from Mortis.
Oh, from the Clone Wars episode?
Yeah, this Aboleth and the Mortis arc was going on at the same time. So it was the father, brother, sister, and the mother.
Okay.
So Aboleth is one of them. But, like, think of the power of the father, but more evil than the brother.
It's pretty bad, man.
Yeah. So she, like, tried to get immortality beyond what she already had. And then that corrupted her. And essentially, for those of y'all out there that have seen Welcome to Night Vale, she looks like she came from Desert Bluffs. Like, she had, her eyes are white, completely white. She's extremely pale, has blood on her a lot, and her smile is literally ear from ear. Like, cut into it, like a smile. And that's just one of her avatars that she had.
Okay.
So yeah, that's Aboleth. And I went on a big, like, rabbit hole with her.
Okay.
So, Luke and Ben teamed up with, made allies with the Sith after they realized that the Sith were also having the same problem. But the Sith apparently were not very smart and decided to betray the Jedi while they were fighting Aboleth. This clearly did not go very well, because you're fighting a demon and, like, the two most powerful Jedi at the time. So it didn't go very well. Aboleth got away, went into a cave, then Luke went in and defeated her momentarily. And then they had fought Sith several times, and one of the Sith that decided to join Ben was named Wastara Kai, and she eventually turned to the light side, decided to stay with them for the time before turning to the light side at, like, the last kind of point of what was released in Legends. And he had several run-ins with Aboleth, the wreckage that Aboleth would cause, Aboleth's avatars. He also killed one of Aboleth's avatars with Vistara. And fought more Sith than anybody since the Old Republic.
How many would you guess?
In that fight alone, he and Vistara were fighting Sith, while Luke was fighting, like, two or three against Aboleth, but there were at least a dozen of them at that one fight.
Hmm.
And another point, I know the second encounter, he fought four at once. Actually, he fought four at once when he was entering the Jedi Temple. And after that, he was greatly outnumbered. So he's used to fighting Sith when he is completely outnumbered in doing so.
Okay.
I don't know his lightsaber form. He uses a blue lightsaber. He has all the standard Jedi powers. But he also is able to make himself disappear in the Force. Like, Force concealment, but, like, completely.
How?
It was taught to him by Jason.
Oh, okay.
Then he taught it to Mara Jade.
Hmm.
So, yeah, they can, like, make themselves disappear. He also, though I'm not going to hinge on this because he only did it once and he vowed to never do it again, and he had Jason there helping him do it, I'm not going to really try to phone in on this one. I'm not going to try to dig deep on this one. Do what's called flow walking. And I just wanted to talk about what flow walking, like, how crazy this is. Because flow walking is experience the past and present, the past and future at the same time. And then you can manipulate the past.
That's wild.
Yeah, so he did that with Jason. And then, but he had Jason helping him. And then he decided he would never do it again.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. Wait, wasn't there someone else who could also flow walk that's been on the tournament? Or is
there are now three people on the tournament who can change time.
Mm.
Well, I don't think Cognis. Satele.
Satele and Cognis, but that's the future, not the past.
Who's the other person?
You got.
Who's the other person that can change the okay. his feats include, of course, what things I've talked about. And at one point when he was younger, I do have to admit his lightsaber skills kind of weren't that great, because he was trained unofficially. But that was when he was like 10, Padawan age, you know, which is not 10, but you know what I mean. And by the end of this, he was fighting several Sith at one time, so that means he very clearly improved. But during this point where he was not fight as good at dueling as everybody else, he beat Luke in a spar match. Because he figured out that he couldn't beat Luke at that point, so he used his cunning by pretending that Luke injured him.
What?
So he cheated.
This child, tricky.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
This is before, like, the exile and everything, where, you know, he fought a Sith a day.
Sith a day. Okay.
Wait, so did he, like, pretend, and then the moment Luke was like, oh no, are you okay? Is that when he was like, aha, I got you?
Like Loki?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Like, instead of, like, Thor picking up a snake and then Loki jumping out, ha, it's me, and stabbing him, he's like, oh no, Dad, you hurt me. And then Dad's like, oh no, are you okay? And then he's like, aha, it's me, and then turns to him.
You gotta watch those kids, man.
Yeah, they're tricky.
They're wily when you give them, like, laser swords.
That's that. I would agree.
Right. What is the consensus of...
Oh,
no, you're fine. What is the, like, I guess, overall consensus about the blue lightsaber? Like, I know last time when we were talking about it, like, different lightsabers were, like...
The significance of him having a blue lightsaber?
Yeah.
He focuses on dueling more.
Dueling more. Okay, cool.
Than like his force abilities.
But that's not necessarily true for everybody.
There's a lot of exceptions to that.
Yeah, I was just asking, since we don't know his form, like, just something to kind of like go off of, even if it's like a little bit of something.
It may not strictly be dueling. It's more like whatever he can do with his hands. But instead of like using the force constantly.
Okay.
It's like what he can do with his blade, what he can do himself.
Okay.
So that's Ben.
Alright. Luke. Let's see what you got.
So, I will defending Luke Skywalker. He's Luke freaking Skywalker.
Mic drop.
Yeah, this is an audio podcast, so you can't see. I just dropped the mic. Luke Skywalker was born. When was he born? I had this all wrong. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
That's fine. That's fine.
Was born on Polis Massa. I know that much. He is the son of Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala.
R.I.P.
He was trained in the Force by Obi-Wan Kenobi and Master Yoda. He defeated Darth Vader. And I don't have as much as he did. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We know, I don't either, usually.
Go on for a very long time.
Yeah.
Are we doing Legends Luke or are we doing Canon Luke?
Well, since Ben is in Legends, I would say you can use Legends if you want.
Okay.
How ridiculous Legends.
That's the thing, because you get into Legends, and I mean, bear in mind, my kind of thing for Luke and Legends ends right around the using Von War. So I didn't see him when he got like super powerful, crazy power, god tier mode almost. So I might just stick with canon, just because that's kind of what I know a little bit better.
Grandmaster Luke in canon is still pretty powerful. So
yeah. Defeated Darth Vader. Trained Ben Solo, along with several others at the New Jedi Temple. basic was a good starfighter pilot, like his father. Probably an ace, probably one of the better starfighter pilots in the Rebel Alliance and the New Republic.
I'd say he's probably two or three, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
probably other, like, Wedge.
Wedge is better than him, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're including freighter pilots, but... If you're including freighter pilots, then Han and Hera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Grew up on Tatooine and joined the Alliance at the age of 18, I believe.
I think so. I think he was 18, yeah.
Yeah. Joined the Alliance at the age of 18. There I believe he achieved the rank of commander. I don't know if he ever got the rank of general officially.
I think in Empire Strikes Back, they say Commander Solo and Commander Skywalker.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Became a Jedi Master. He killed or helped free Han Solo from Jabba the Hutt. And he eventually, the Jedi Temple was destroyed by... Well, we later found out that it was not Ben Solo, but it was, in fact, that whole thing with whoever, the Emperor, whatever his, yeah. That whole confusing mess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Powers include force push, force pull, force choke, force projection, your basic force powers. Used Form 5 lightsaber fighting style, like his father. And I think probably also a little Form 3. But mostly Form 5.
Just from being around Obi-Wan.
Yeah, just from being around Obi-Wan. And... That's about it. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, later on... he was able to project a Force Ghost version of himself across the galaxy.
Yeah.
And fight
Kylo,
yeah.
Which isn't something that we have seen anybody else do. I don't
think. Yeah. Yeah.
Not while they're alive, for sure.
No. It's a lot easier to do when you're not corporeal, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, he was the guy for a very long time. Like, he was the guy. So, I mean, if you need... He's one of those characters in pop culture and social and in media and stuff. Not social media. In media. where, like, if you need something to get done, he's going to do it.
No.
Like, he's gonna get it done. It's like Superman. Like, if you need something to happen, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially Aang from Avatar.
Yeah.
I do have in Legends when I was looking at this, Luke did end up fighting Abeloth all the time. So it was kind of in the routine of Ben fighting Sith. And Luke fighting this force demon.
Yeah. I don't know. The force demon is a little bit more powerful than the Sith, I'd say.
Yeah.
The force demon did defeat many of the Sith. But, big point here, drawing back to Mara Jade and Ben Skywalker last episode...
Two episodes ago.
Using Hayden's argument here. He's like a combination between Mara Jade and Luke in Force Power. So.
He
could imply that he's more powerful than Luke.
That is generally how it goes.
At least at his full potential.
That's true, yeah.
But to quote... What happened last week?
Lanta.
Have we seen him at his full potential, Aaron?
No.
No. I'm going to use that this week because it worked for me last week.
You're a judge. Why are you doing...
John's going to use that this week.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen Luke at his most powerful.
Yes, we have. Yeah, and we know what Luke looks like.
Yeah.
You're supposed to stay
partial. I'm a child fighting like a dozen Sith at once.
You're really bad at my job.
I am bad at this job. Aaron, if you could sum up how you think Ben would win in one point, what would it be?
Cunning.
Cunning.
Okay.
The same way he beat his father in the sparring match. Not the exact same way. Because like an adult to the dead, I don't think you care if you injure the other person.
No.
But something he did get from Mara Jade that he didn't get from Luke is his cunning and his like intellect in that regard. Other than that, I think force power that evenly matched. Luke is probably a bit more tactically experienced, and Ben knows that. He's spent all this time with him. He knows that he's more experienced, so he would resort to cunning in the fight.
John, what do you think?
Well, I think that just as Aaron said, Luke has the experience, he has the wisdom, he has the knowledge, and he would know that Ben is going to try to use his cunning and try to use his wily ways to get an advantage, and I think he would use that against him, and would just use his experience and his knowledge as the Jedi Grandmaster to end the fight. I think it would be an evenly matched fight for a while, but I think eventually Luke's experience would win out.
I feel like, yeah, that's a pretty strong argument. I do have a question for Aaron, though.
Yes.
The force, like, disappearing thing, does that conceal you from force users?
If they reach out in the force, then you're not there.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's like a more hardcore version of concealment.
Hmm.
That we've talked about several other people using that in like a stealth way. That's like a minor form of this. They can show up like they use on Vong and just not be there.
Would you like to converse?
They also can't see them with their eyes, right?
I don't know, but it seemed like they were still visible. It's just like their presence in the Force was gone. Like whenever Rey was like sensing in the Force and said, "I didn't feel one thing," and then turned to Luke and said, "I didn't feel you." I think it's like that.
Okay.
John, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Victoria, what are you thinking right now?
Well, my thoughts are a bit like, I guess, I'm trying to figure out like how this would really work out in a sense, but I guess that's not really where that's going. So what are your thoughts?
I think it comes down. It's either Luke's experience, right, versus so the combination of cunning and being able to be hidden from the Force, because they are not fighting in like a gladiatorial arena. There are places for him to hide visually,
mm-hmm.
and cut himself off from the Force.
Yeah,
you know. But I mean, he is his dad, so yes, he's like his dad would know that. True.
Yeah.
But since he is his dad, the Force power that Ben gets is so much it's amplified because his mom is also stupid powerful, as we talked about last week. That's the whole reason he's even here.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's like Luke has all of the experience, but as we've shown in this tournament, the experience isn't always the most valuable piece of
the
puzzle.
Yeah, but also this is Luke.
I know, but it's just like...
But Luke's,
his son
Luke's experience is going to be so much broader than a whole lot of other people's experience.
He has a lot of experience.
Yeah.
All right. He has a lot of experience fighting extremely powerful beings and stuff like that, but that doesn't always mean everything, though. You remember
what
happened last week?
Yes, but that was a different situation.
It was his dad.
Huh?
It was Luke's dad.
Yeah. But that's a different situation. Because that was going off of more so on his dad's side, more of his dad's like...
Yeah, I mean, his dad was arrogant.
Exactly. Right? So that's a different situation.
His dad's personality.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
so,
Luke doesn't have that kind of personality. Yeah. And he is the Grandmaster, so he's more like, you know...
Yeah, also, Zen. We have more of a track record of Luke not losing... Luke. Yeah, we have more of a track record of Luke not losing battles to people lower than him because of his arrogance. So there's a difference in that, too.
I mean, he's only lost once.
Yeah.
Or, do you want to count him losing to Palpatine as losing? Because that was sort of like a, I'm not going to fight you kind of thing.
I don't know. I don't think it really is a factor in this fight, though. I think overall... Do you have a conclusion? Because I do.
I don't. Take it away from the mic. What do you think?
I tried to give him free reins, but he couldn't. It's a hard job. I understand.
This is different.
At the end of the day, I personally would give it to Luke. And my reasoning for giving it to Luke is because I hate Aaron and I no longer like him. And I no longer want him to win anything. No. My reasoning behind giving... I'm sorry.
I feel in a row.
No, but on a realistic note, I would say in this fight we would do probably the same thing that we've done with Baryaga. He doesn't die. Baryaga. Duh. He doesn't die. He's just lifted up because I think there's a difference between him fighting Mara Jade and him fighting Luke. I think Luke has the capabilities to take him out. Like if we stripped away the fact that this is his son, I think that Luke could definitely like defeat him. But yeah, just based off of Luke's experience and all the things that he's gone up against and the fact that he's only technically lost like one fight or two potentially, and he's been up against Ben before, he knows that Ben is cunning and he knows that Ben could try the whole like, oh no, Dad, you hurt me thing. So I just think with all of those things in place, I think that Ben has the potential to get more powerful than Luke and to become even more of a legacy than Luke. But I think right now at this stage in this point, Luke, dad strength for the win.
I can see that. Fights more powerful people.
Yeah.
You know, he's fighting that like my evil entity lady.
Yeah, and it's nothing against, like I said, we just raise Ben up. Like, Ben just floated away, you know? He just...
We'll just pluck him from the arena.
Yeah.
That thing in, like, whenever you beat your dad at basketball to the first time. He's not there yet.
Yeah, no. He's gonna get there. He's got time, but it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, we ain't there yet.
Yeah.
So. Luke wins.
Luke wins.
Yay.
Yay.
Aaron, no one cares about your feelings.
The knowledge that you defeated Aaron. he could have brought it way worse. If it was somebody he like knew about, like if it was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I would have gone down swinging.
Yeah, he would have gone down swinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have been here all night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you happen to listen to our last episode?
I did. Yeah, I listened to a little bit of it, yeah.
How much
of it did you hear?
The first part of it, I think. I don't remember. I've slept since then.
That's fine.
You're fine.
I think you would remember if you had heard the Anakin bells at a firefight.
Yeah.
But that's an example of somebody Aaron does like.
Yes, it is.
That lost.
Yes.
And then we talked for like an hour on that one fight. And if you haven't listened to that, people at home, you should definitely go listen to it. Yes. It was on our last episode before this. So
it's the second fight.
Rare instance of me like genuinely getting heated.
He was mad.
Yeah.
Like, he was mad.
Very mad.
But that is all for today. Two people moving on. We got Leia moving on from the beating Darth Nihilus, and then Luke spanking his son. So, Aaron, who are we talking about next week?
I will say I feel very conflicted because I lost both matchups. But, I mean, it was the Skywalker twins.
Yeah.
So I can't really be mad at it.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We're slowly dwindling them down, but they're still around.
Yeah. As for next week, though, I'm going to win both of them. Because next week
he will not.
Grievous
he can manifest whatever he wants.
And Darth Vader versus Mace Windu.
You will win maybe one of those, dude. The General Grievous one, I will murder you.
Believe in yourself, Aaron. You never know what can happen.
Murder you.
No.
You don't stand a chance, my guy. You don't stand a chance.
We shall see what happens.
Stand a chance.
And that one, for the recording of that one, will be in person. So,
oh no, yeah.
We could just settle this with fisticuffs.
Oh no, in real time.
There's not enough space in the closet for this.
Fisticuffs, Aaron, next week, live on the podcast. This is gonna be fun. All right, John. Thank you for coming on and handing Aaron another L. We do appreciate it.
Yes.
No problem.
Yeah. Everybody at home, go listen War of the Stars.
Yes. Tell people where they can find you.
Yes.
Well, you can find us wherever fine podcasts are heard. Just search War of the Stars, the Star Wars podcast. We're on Spotify, Anchor, all those places, Apple Podcasts. We live stream every week to our Facebook Live group. We do a live stream of our podcast there. So you can check that out. We usually do it on Wednesdays, but we're doing it Tuesday again this week. You can email us at warthestars1@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is at warthestars1. We have a merch store. Quick plug for our cool merch. T-shirts.
Nice. That's really cool.
Just go to spreadshirt.com and search War of the Stars, and it's got all the stuff there, and that is about it.
All right, guys, go do that. Watch their live streams, listen to their things. Obviously, they're the better part of the Star Wars fandom.
Yes.
Sweet
people.
Positivity is where it's at.
I feel that not giving the negative ones, they get all the clickbait because
they do.
You know,
they're the loudest ones.
They're the loudest ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Those of you who have been a victim of those people, they do not represent all Star Wars fans.
Yes.
No.
Remember, Hayden Christensen talked about this before. Talking about whenever this resurged with the sequel trilogy, it's not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You are, though those people are the loudest, if you enjoy Star Wars and you are a victim to a toxicity in the Star Wars fandom, you are not alone.
Nope. Those people aren't real Star Wars fans. But, you know, it is what it is. It just happens to be one of the more toxic fan bases out there, but you can find that kind of thing anywhere. But it is what you make of it, and Star Wars is welcome for everybody. So,
yes.
Yeah. Also, Nerdament, Denton Comic Con, August the 27th.
Yes, we will be there
doing panel. If you want to come argue with us in person, you can bring information on our four characters that we... Should I just tell them now?
Yeah, you can tell them.
MCU Thor versus... Kratos, is it Kratos, Aaron, or Kronos? It's Kratos, right?
Kratos.
Yeah, yes. I keep saying Kronos. From God of War and Wonder Woman versus Darth Vader.
Yes.
So, 3 minutes each. If you want to come and yell at us, you have 3 minutes to do so. Denton Comic Con. August. See you there. Also, check out our website, nerdimatpod.com.
Yes.
Everybody have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Catch you guys next week.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
Bye.
Bye.